lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show once again with your newbie here on UCY.TV and the antimedia.org/radio. Thank you all for coming back and hanging out with us. Once again, I've got my awesome associate at the Anti-Media, SM Gibson, with me in the studio, and we're going to be just kind of got an unscripted show tonight. There's just so many things going on. We're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff, kind of a free-flowing conversation. We're not going to be taking any calls. We're still working on our call issues. I don't know, something's wrong with them, but we're figuring that out. We're just going to be talking about all kinds of stuff tonight, and plenty of stuff to go over in the news. Make sure you go to the antimedia.org, check out the homepage, sign up, create an account, post links over in the my news section, because you know what, like when we see a bunch of people posting similar stories, that we realize like, hey look, our audience wants us to cover this story. So we send that story to our journalists. Our journalists look into it. We find out some, maybe a different angle that people aren't covering, and we'll write the story too. Not only are you able to get news that you think is important onto the homepage of the Anti-Media just by getting, you know, a few upvotes on it, you could also let us know what stories you want us to cover. If we see a bunch of the same story going in there, we're like, okay, we need to cover this story because people want us to look at this, right? I mean, we did that today for the first time. You know, we just launched the page, the new website last Monday, and for the first time today, we received the same link several times. We're like, all right, send this to the writers. Let's cover this. Let's look into it. Let's find out, you know, let's dig deeper in and find out what's really going on.
That's what we're trying to do, I think, with Anti-Media, is especially with the new site, the way that it's set up is we're giving the people a voice. This is a media outlet for everybody. This is not, you know, corporate sponsors telling you what to believe and what stories are important or how to feel about something. Today we have 90 different stories up just for today for the antimedia.org. So with that said, there is so
90 stories.
90. So there is so much information up right now, and there's not an excuse anymore for people to not be informed of what's really going on in the world.
Yeah, and like half of those stories came from our audience. So, you know, the site is working today. We really got a taste of what the site can really do. We had a bunch of different people posting a bunch of different links to us. 98% of them were approved. Now, keep in mind, we're gonna approve most links that you guys post, unless if it's something that's just out of date, if it's something that's like from CNN if it's something that is from like a fake news site or something like that, it's not going to make the cut. But most of the links are going to be approved if they're a reputable site, if it's backed up with sources. I don't care if it's politically different than what I believe or whatever, it's going to go up on the site. So, you know, that being said, we're providing a platform to bring curated, legitimate news, no fake news, no bullshit, no CNN, no propaganda, no government-funded shit. You know, we're bringing raw news. Like today, man, the story, what was going on in Standing Rock. I hope you guys saw our headline story today for the first half of the day was just a live updating, live streaming video directly from the ground in Standing Rock. That's what I was doing all day today. Me and SM Gibson here, we're sitting here tracking down all of the best live streams, updating it constantly and making sure that the videos were live so that you guys could have an unadulterated look at what in the hell is actually going on.
In fairness, though, it's not even that it's an unadulterated look. It's any look, because where was corporate media today?
They weren't even there.
Right.
BuzzFeed showed up acting like they're going to live stream off Facebook, but, you know, that's about it.
It's a bad situation that's going on up there. We didn't see a lot of people speak up today. Some of the people we did see speak up in the past. Where was Bernie Sanders? He spoke up about it. He didn't say anything today.
No. And you think that now that with Trump in power, it's like, yeah, you know, I figured the left was going to be out in force today defending these people. There was not very many people there defending them. Bernie Sanders wasn't speaking out. I mean, where was Hillary Clinton on all this?
Well.
I guess I shouldn't even ask that question.
In fairness to her, she doesn't care.
So, you know, we all know what Donald Trump is about. It's not a surprise that he's going forward with this pipeline or enabling it. What I am surprised about is the lack of, like you said, the lack of people speaking out about this. Man, dude, this is a big issue. These people are getting, it's neocolonialism going on once again right here on U.S. soil. Neocolonialism. The Native Americans are getting railroaded once again. People are getting brutalized. They're getting arrested. And it's just, you know, the cops and the whatever those guys are, the Army Corps of Engineers, the National Guard, whatever those law enforcement guys are out there.
The law enforcement there today was actually law enforcement from Wisconsin. So it wasn't even North Dakota officers enacting any of this that they were doing in Wisconsin. But, you know, at least it provided people an opportunity today to see what was going on, because if you're not informed about what's happening, then how can you do anything about it? Because you don't know that it's happening.
Exactly. And here's what people don't know what is happening. There's pipeline protests going on all over the country right now, dude. It's not just in Standing Rock. It's not. So we just covered one.
There were some arrests in Florida, I believe.
Yeah, we just covered one today. Our awesome editor, Kerry Wedler, wrote a story about it. Title, you guys can go check it out on the front page. Not just Standing Rock. Protesters were just arrested for blocking a pipeline in Florida. So, yeah, several protesters were arrested today in Florida for blocking the, what's it called, the Sabal Trail transmission pipeline, which is supposed to carry gas through Florida. And so these people are shutting this pipeline down because it's running right next to their aquifer. And people living along the pathway of the pipeline don't even realize what it is. And then there's a bunch of issues, again, going back to the issue of eminent domain, which was used in a major way for the Dakota Access Pipeline, which is basically where the government shows up and says, hey, we're giving your land to the pipeline, whether you like it or not. And here's the money that we think that you deserve for your land, whether you want to let it be built on your land or not, we're taking it. And so, yeah, this is going on all over the place. I was asking some of the people on my Facebook profile about other protests that they know of about pipelines, and they're going on in, like, there's at least 10 locations right now. They may be small, but there's opposition to these pipelines all over the place. And of course, even the Keystone pipeline is now going to be, they're going to start, you know, working on that pretty soon too, you know, and I'm sure that's going to be a big fight. So, you know, right now we're dealing with this huge struggle between you know, are we going to protect the environment or are we going to let it go to shit, more or less? And of course, it's more complex than that. But in the end, that's really the big issue here is, like, are we going to protect people's rights, their property rights? Are we going to protect the environment, or are we going to let big oil run roughshod over everybody and do what they want? Right now, it looks like they're going to do what they want. Unless something tomorrow happens. Now keep in mind, they were going to try to evict people today. They didn't successfully evict the protesters. So the fight continues tomorrow. So we're gonna be watching that, and we're going to see what happens. We'll probably be updating. We'll keep the link. So everybody that was keeping an eye on that article today, I know there were people that were on that article for hours and hours, and we kept updating it. So tomorrow, just keep that article bookmarked. The Last Stand at Standing Rock, keep it bookmarked and keep coming back and checking it. We're going to put some more live videos up on that link tomorrow. That being said, let's introduce our panel tonight. I've got my longtime co-host on the line, DB Schwartz. What's up, bro?
Not much, man. I've been watching a lot of that DAPL myself, and it finally, yeah, it hit that head that everybody thought it would, but and now they're calling for the vets to go back, so we'll see what happens.
I saw a few veterans out there today doing a great job helping with the water protectors and stuff, and they're doing really good work out there. And these guys, believe me, these veterans are like 100 times more trained than these sheriffs or these cops, whatever they are out there, and they know what the hell they're doing. These cops don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't.
Yeah, and it's sad to see the Wisconsin. I mean, we had people from here, the sheriffs, that went out there, and they came back super discouraged by the whole experience, and they were not happy to have been sent. So I can tell you a lot of these dudes are super pissed off to be out there, and they're taking it out on, of course, the protesters, but, or I should say the water protectors. But, you know, when they get home, they're super pissed off too, because they're getting it from the constituents. Why'd you go out there? And they're just following orders at the same time, man. You got to find a new line of work when people are ordering you to do that shit.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, sheriffs are supposed to be, like, the check and balance on law enforcement, because these are, like, elected. You know, the head sheriff is elected. They're supposed to be held accountable. They're supposed to be, like, more of, like, the people who uphold the Constitution and all that kind of stuff. You know, but there have been a lot of reports about sheriff's departments who have refused to go because they realize that, okay, this is just not what we want to do. We don't want to be going out there and, you know, brutalizing people. Or they've gone briefly and they came back and said, we're not going back. We're not going back. It's wrong what's going on up there. And then you got, as you mentioned, the veterans. And we had one on the show just a couple weeks ago from here in San Diego, because, you know, in San Diego we have tons and tons of military veterans. Several of the veterans from here went out to Standing Rock, what was that, like 2 months ago, and they stood up with the water protectors effectively stopped the pipeline from happening at that time. Now, of course, it's, you know, they're pushing for it again. But what that veteran said here on the show is very, very interesting and very intriguing, the way he looked at it. And, you know, if you guys remember what he said, you know what, like, the government is acting so badly out there at Standing Rock, so violently against U.S. citizens who have remained overwhelmingly peaceful. He said, us veterans have an oath, we have a duty to go out there and oppose them violently if needed. And he said it just like that. And he actually said, look, we're justified to bring our guns out there and start shooting these guys, but we're not. We're not, because we're being nice. That's the way he put it, man. And so, you know, I think these veterans are going to be a very interesting element to what is going to be going on over the next several years. And you know, there was some movement on the veteran front under Obama as well. But I think veterans are starting to become an integral part of the activist community and are starting to find their true role, I think, in American society, in being a check on this massive federal government. I think there's a possibility that our veterans are really the last line of defense here between us and an out-of-control, you know, government. That being said, I want to bring Jake Anderson onto the show. What's up, Jake? What do you think about these veterans out there and of our previous guest and the stuff that he said? I mean, Does that make sense to you? I mean, is it that crazy? Is it that bad yet? Or, you know, was he going a little too far?
What's the question specifically?
Well, I was just wondering your thoughts on these veterans out there at Standing Rock, man, because some of these guys are, like, really serious about...
Yeah, I mean,
violently stand up to the government out there.
It'll be interesting to see. I think we'll get a first taste of, you know, how serious Trump is about getting his way. I mean, he sounds like he's, you know, pretty determined to get the pipeline going. And, the interesting thing is, you know, the friggin' Democrats are having their leadership debate right now. And, of course, they haven't said a single word about Standing Rock. It's all just about, you know, Russia hacking the election. So they haven't learned a damn thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but as far as, you know, it's a clown's autopsy going on, you know, with the Democratic leadership debate. But as far as Standing Rock, you couldn't find an issue that is more emblematic, that is more of a confluence of different problems we have in terms of, government, you know, having seized land from people, corporate control, corporations getting their way against the will of the people, against environmental damage. One of the...
This is a little bit of everything, right? You got the police brutality, you've got the environment, you've got the climate issues, you've got private property issues, you know, you've got indigenous rights. I mean, it really is like a intersection of a bunch of different issues, and that's why I think over the second half of last year, Standing Rock became such a unifying movement, and it gained so much widespread support from across the political spectrum. Everybody was like, this is just ridiculous what's going on, because we were getting, luckily, the independent media people were out there and live streaming this shit. Because also keep in mind, let's not forget this. Like I said, BuzzFeed was out there pretending like they knew what the hell they were doing, live streaming off Facebook. The mainstream media was nowhere to be found in Standing Rock until we started covering this shit, and we forced it into the mainstream after some of these live streams got like millions and millions of views, and it was finally forced into the mainstream. If it weren't for that, they would have never even talked about this. They would have pretended like it never existed. Like, activist movements aren't covered by the media at all until they turn violent. So the fact that this movement got a lot of coverage was very, very encouraging. I mean, with all the shitty things that went on in 2016, with the fact that all this crappy things happened, and politically the country has turned into just the biggest piece of shit you're ever going to find. But the second half of 2016, Standing Rock really was a shining light. And it'd be a symbolic loss, among all the other things, it would be a really symbolic loss if we just sat around and let this thing happen. We're doing what we can. I mean, here at the Anti-Media, we're doing what we can. We're a media outlet. We can't, I can't go out there and lay my life on the line. But we're covering this stuff, and people need to get out there if they're going to have a victory here. And, you know, we need a victory against Trump and against this big I think Trump sees as a undefeatable federal government. I mean, we need to start standing up to the feds now. Like, we have to do it now, because we're in for a long, hard fight with Trump with the feds on all sorts of issues, including immigration and environmental issues and activist issues. And believe me, as soon as a police shooting goes off and the wrong person gets shot and there's rioting in some city, Trump is going to send in the cavalry, dude. And we need to get ready to oppose these guys right now. We don't want to wait until it's like, oh shit, it's happening. We need to do it on our terms. And that's what I see at Standing Rock, dude. Like, it's the time to fight is like now. It's not in a month from now. It's not 3 months down the line when there's rioting in LA because of a police shooting or whatever it is that happens. The time to stand up for this stuff is right now.
Unfortunately, I think the time to stand up for this stuff is probably past us for the most part. and they've allowed the government to already get so much control, and complacency has run amok in this country, and we've just kind of woken up in this scenario where Donald Trump's the president, and I think also the government knows that if they can, for instance, they delayed Standing Rock a couple of months ago, and everybody, you know, thought they'd won this big victory, and when everybody kind of goes to sleep, they go in and do it anyway. Similar to the situation we saw in Syria, going to war in Syria, and they kind of, you know, push to the side. Don't think for a second we haven't had troops in Syria, and we've certainly been bombing Syria for the past few years. It's not as widespread as they probably had wanted, yeah, but it doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
They rocked these movements to sleep. I mean, Obama came in, rocked the anti-war movement to sleep, right? This no DAPL movement, it got rocked to sleep when Obama said that they were stopping it. You know, and if, oh, the Justice Department has stepped in and they're no longer killed it.
Because it had too much momentum.
Yeah, it momentarily stopped it, but all it did was rock the movement to sleep, and then Trump comes along. Almost all the activists have left Standing Rock, and now they come along, and there's only a couple hundred people left. Instead of, at one time, there was like 15,000 there or something, or maybe even more. Now there's like a couple hundred people left, and they're like just running roughshod over these people, evicting them out of the camp.
Forget just the people that were there on the ground. Remember the day that everybody on Facebook started to check in Standing Rock just to help out the people on the ground to confuse of who was there and who wasn't. And it was just people in mass checking in. People that I saw that I had no idea even knew about were checking in there. So it's kind of like when they see that pushback, oh, wow, they're paying attention to this, we can't do it, let's make it go away. And, you know, they're not paying attention anymore, then we won't.
Yeah, and then we'll give them Milo news, and then we'll build the pipeline, who knows. But, you know, here's the thing. I disagree that it's too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. The federal government, the only thing that they have that makes them powerful is the people's belief that they're powerful. There's so few of them and so many of us. It's ridiculous. Like, the numbers are just staggering. Like, we outnumber them by a shitload. Like a million, it's just we outnumber that a lot, dude. And so it's never too late. Never will be too late. It never will be too late unless we let them continue to beat us psychologically. And that's one of the reasons. Again, going back to what we've been doing on the show with talking more about philosophical questions and psychological questions, the battle has to be won psychologically. And then the rest of the battle, it's all downhill from there, dude. It really is. And with Standing Rock, I think we still have a chance. There's still a chance. Tomorrow, we'll see what happens. And it's a psychological battle that must be won. And the tactics, you know, you got to employ the Gandhi-like tactics, the Martin Luther King-like tactics out there. And you take the moral high ground. And, the you know, the protesters already have the moral high ground. You know, we already know what went on over there and how many people got brutalized, and then when they sprayed them with ice cold water when it was below freezing and stuff. Like, the protesters have the high ground. Now, the only time they try to remove the protesters' high ground, think about how strategic it was. Remember that news that supposedly came out where the protesters had left like a ton of trash laying around?
They were saying earlier this morning that there were protesters running around setting stuff on fire.
Yeah. Saying that they're leaving trash everywhere. I mean, it was, first of all, it's misinformation. It's propaganda. They're doing that strategically at that time to be ready for this time.
Second off, what if it's true? Who cares? What does that have to do with the pipeline going in? Yeah. What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, and it's not true, though. The thing is that if you're evicting people from their camps, what do you think they're going to do? Pack up their shit, roll up their sleeping bags, and tidy all the place up? You're going in there with cops and forcibly surprising them and evicting them out of their camp. What are they going to do? Pack up their tents and shit? No, you're going to run because there's cops coming at you with batons firing tear gas. You're not going to sweep the place up. And then afterwards, you go in there like, look how bad they are. They left their trash behind when we chased them out violently with tanks. It's like, what the shit? And people are buying the shit? You got to be kidding me, dude. That's almost as bad as coming around and saying refugees are the big problem in this country. That's almost as bad. Anyway, I let myself get a little carried away there. There's a lot of other shit going on, dude. Right now on CNN, as Jake was saying, they're over there spreading anti-Russian propaganda, pretending that it's a political event.
Speaking of CNN, one thing that was interesting.
We got two things on CNN, right?
Yeah.
First of all, I'll go first, and then you could tell us what you were going to say. Me and SM Gibson pulled up the DNC debate just literally for like 30 seconds before the show, and the first question we hear is, they asked one of the debaters, was the Democratic primary rigged? And the guy goes, hell yeah, it was rigged. So that was funny. What I find very ironic is that now we know CNN is actually one of the news organizations that helped rig the primary in favor of Hillary Clinton. You remember that, right? Donna Brazile was feeding questions to Hillary Clinton's campaign before the debate so that she would have a better chance in the debate.
CNN is worse than Fox right now.
CNN.
That's fake news, Nick.
And tomorrow, this is kind of ties into all this. James O'Keefe, which people know him for, you know, some of his videos that he released.
Controversial guy. What's his? They have like a really conservative
Project outlet. Veritas.
You know, controversial guy. The guy's got a criminal record, and people are always saying he's manipulating shit. Anyway, that's besides the point. What is this stuff he's supposed to come out tomorrow about CNN?
He's supposedly dumping a whole bunch of CNN leaks similar to WikiLeaks. It's supposedly going to be set up in the same way where people are going to be able to sort through all this information and kind of dig and piece stuff together similar to the way they did WikiLeaks. Will there be anything big in it? I don't have any clue.
Well, this,
maybe, maybe not.
This, you think this could be the end of CNN if there's any bombshells in there?
Anything's possible. But I don't know, unless it's just something just monumental, I don't know how there could be anything in there to actually destroy them any more than they're already destroyed.
Yeah, CNN is
about, what about CGI anchors?
Yeah, you know, CNN has been accused of faking its people in certain locations using like green screens and stuff like that as well. You know, and so who knows what's going to come out. You know, it's going to be interesting. Jake, what were you saying?
If you go to PolitiFact, and of course, you know, who knows how accurate they are, but PolitiFact rates the, you know, kind of accuracy of politicians and all kinds of different agencies. They did an analysis of the mainstream news based on, like, mostly true, half truth, false, mostly false, and pants on fire. And remember, they were doing this on Trump during the campaign, telling how much he lied. Well, if you look at CNN, seriously, like half of their statements are like mostly untrue, are false. They're one of the worst. I mean, I don't know how else to say it for people that thought Fox was the worst or that still think CNN is some bastion of objectivity. They are one of the worst news networks. They lie most of the time.
This is what's so dangerous about CNN, too, I think, is that when you get Fox News, basically you're watching a conservative talking point.
Yeah, you know.
People, you know what you're looking at. And it's, you know, it's a mouthpiece for the Republican Party to a major degree. And then the same with MSNBC. You know this is a mouthpiece of the Democratic Party. You know that you're going to get this certain narrative from either one of those two. But CNN supposedly where people go to get their quote-unquote news.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a massive problem, because they don't pick a side. They're not like those other guys.
Yeah.
They're just trying to tell us what the facts are.
And it's like with us here at Anti-Media, dude. Do you see it anywhere on our page that we say we're objective observers and we're going to give you unbiased information? It's like, you listen to our radio show, you know we're anti-establishment news. Yeah, we come from a wide spectrum. We're not extremely far left or extremely far right. There's people from across the spectrum that work with the anti-media. But you know we're all anti-establishment. You all know that. There's no hiding it. It's right there in our name. So I agree with you, Scott. Like, Fox is so much more transparent, and MSNBC is so much more transparent about their agenda. Like, we all know they're left and right. CNN tries to pretend, oh, no, we're just in the middle. We're just going to give you the straight-up facts, and, you know, It's like CNN is like the news outlet of like the deep state or something. Like they're horrible. The other day I was just seeing an article on CNN talking about, oh, look how cool Saudi Arabia is. They're having a Comic-Con convention inside of Saudi Arabia, and this is so nice and cool. It's like CNN literally takes money to write fluff stories for dictatorships. We already know that because of Amber Lyon coming out and telling us that they actually do that. Like CNN is garbage. I hope they're edited tomorrow by this guy.
Wolf Blitzer is a male cheerleader for the State Department. That's all there is to it.
Are you assuming his gender, Jake?
Yeah.
Oh, that's messed up. Jake, you're right, dude. I think you're right, man. Like, CNN
Wolf Blitzer is a female cheerleader for the State Department.
Oh, man. So we're going to see what goes on. And also in media news today, did you guys see what MSNBC was saying this morning? I got to pull it up and play the audio because this one is pretty interesting.
Mika Brzezinski.
Yeah, old Brzezinski, right? Now, here's the thing. The first thing they were saying was actually pretty true. Because they're saying, well, you know, Donald Trump is just making shit up and he's just lying on and on and on. And you know, he's not really being held accountable for it and blah, 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 blah. That part was, you know, pretty true. But it was the second part where he was like, what in the hell are you guys talking about? Give me a second while I try to pull up this audio.
He's doing, okay. I'm so surprised about it. He's doing exactly what he said he's going to do.
Well, and I think that the dangerous, you know, edges here are that he's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that while unemployment and the economy worsens, he could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
That is our job.
If you know who her father is, that's not just piddle-paddle talk. That's a threat.
Brzezinski. Go look him up if you don't know who he is. He's so complicated that I don't even know nearly enough about him. But, you know, he's one of the guys that he's like a Kissinger type. And, you know, the kind of guy that engineers extremely deep foreign policy objectives that involve really nefarious things. He was involved with creating the Mujahideen in Afghanistan and, you know, that whole, you know, thing. And, you know, obviously Osama bin Laden was an outgrowth of that. And, you know, we all know how that all turned out, kind of. So, yeah, Brzezinski. Anyway, she basically came out and said, you know what? It's our job to tell people how to think. It's like, finally, you guys tell the truth out there, right? It's like, damn, you finally did tell the truth. Okay. And you know what? I'm kind of happy that they were just being honest. You know what I mean?
I think it was more of a slip of the tongue than probably being honest. I don't think she
Freudian slip?
Yeah, I don't think she was really thinking that through of what she was saying. Or maybe she was and, you know, forgot that she was on camera.
I can't believe Donald Trump is trying to control how people think. That's our job. No, it shouldn't be
but
either one of you.
Here's the irony, to her point of what she was saying, is that she was saying somehow that Donald Trump being Donald Trump is destroying the faith of the institutions of corporate media in this country. Yeah, that's not true.
Corporate media has been destroyed for a long time.
But what there was, everybody had this angst against it. I think there's been mistrust in the media for a long time. And now they have their cheerleader and their poster child for somebody to get up there and stand up for them and go, these people have been lying to you for a long time. And they're going, yeah, they have been. So that makes Trump very dangerous because I think he can say whatever he wants. And since they feel like, oh, he's telling me the truth that they're lying, and they'll just automatically assume that whatever he says is the truth. And that's a problem in and of itself. But he has done nothing to erode how people view the media and if they're trustworthy or not.
Trump is just tapping into the existing distrust of the media.
That's exactly what it is. He's tapping into something.
And, you know, calling CNN fake news, that's like throwing red meat to the base, man. That's like, you know, back in the day, you know, it's like saying I'm going to repeal Obamacare. Now you say CNN is fake news and it's like, yeah! And the crowd goes wild and everybody loves Donald Trump.
But they did it to themselves. They did it to themselves by lying to the people and the public for years. And then not only doing it, but they do it and they're so arrogant about it. Just like what Mika Brzezinski said today, we're in charge here. What are you talking about? How dare you question us? We're the ones, we're the journalists. We're these sanctified intellectual, we know we're on the front lines. Don't ever question us. And it's almost like the media, corporate media, has a God complex. We tell you what to believe. You know, and if you don't believe it, then you're crazy. You're a nut job. And anybody that says anything against what we say, we will attack them. Not attack the message, but we'll attack the person because that's how they work. The public knows this for the most part. I think the majority of Americans know this for the most part. It's like you said, Nick, Trump tapped into that.
Yeah, he did. And
I was going to say that was the recipe for his win.
Yeah, dude, that was a big part of it. And I'll tell you another thing, dude, and it's kind of like this scenario with Washington Post. Washington Post was losing money. Along comes Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, you know, one of the biggest companies in the world. And he says, oh, yeah, I'll take this newspaper that is losing money. I'll buy that for, what was it, $300 million or something like that?
I don't remember what
he paid. Bunch of money for it. Bought the Washington Post. And I'll tell you something. People don't invest in media companies because they make you rich. People invest in the Washington Post, and people keep CNN afloat, not because it makes a ton of money, but because they use it.
It does,
not with their advertisements. They make money by influencing people's opinion. And, man,
they control
MSNBC,
the narrative.
They were laying it bare today. I agree. That was probably a slip. I don't think they meant to say that. But that couldn't be any closer to the truth. That's where they make their money. That's where the true power lies with the media, is their ability to control opinion and create opinion. Now, Bezos, who owns Washington Post, also owns Amazon. You put two and two together, and you could use Amazon to make people think. You could use Washington Post to make people think Amazon is cool, like, and that could make him billions of dollars. I mean, you know, Washington Post probably makes a couple million bucks a year. That's it. But with Amazon, you can make billions and billions. You know, and so that's why these outlets are still around. But everything is changing now with the internet, dude. And look, our site. We put up a section on our site where you guys tell us what should be up there. The voting system on our site, you tell us what's on the front page. So that's the big difference here. CNN is paid to shove opinions down your throat. MSNBC is paid to shove opinions down your throat. We're providing you guys a platform to voice your own opinion, dude. And that's why I'm so happy about the new website, the homepage. Dude, I'm so happy for you guys that were out there today sending us news articles. I'm telling you. 90 articles today on the anti-media homepage, on the homepage of independent media. Like, that is a lot of content. This is, and it's you guys. It's you guys.
I want to throw this out there. When you were talking about the Washington Post before we move on, and about getting into it for the money. First off, I want to say I don't think that there's any more of a joke media outlet in this country, and that includes the National Enquirer, than the Washington Post. They just literally are making stuff up. And that started really hardcore during the election, the way that they were pimping themselves out for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, they were electioneering hardcore for Hillary Clinton.
But Think of something like the Washington Post as a politician. You see somebody like Kerry Reed, and you see what a U.S. senator makes on paper. You're clearly not going to get into that job for, I guess, the money per se.
I mean,
then all of a sudden on the back,
it's good money. $200,000 a year. I mean, that's good.
That's
money.
True, but then you see on the back end, these people have just millions of dollars. And you know,
how did Hillary Clinton? How much are they worth? $200 million.
Yeah,
she's been a politician her whole life. How did she?
And that's the thing with something like the Washington Post. It's
exactly.
The money. We know what these people are making, and it's,
and they're not making shit.
And comparatively to what they have, they're not making a bunch of money. But then you see what they have in the bank. It's like, where did all that come from? And it's because they control the narrative. They control the positions. They can position themselves in many different areas and ways.
And that, my friends, is why there's such thing now as quote-unquote fake news. Because they came out after the election. They're like, holy shit, we thought we had the narrative. We were electioneering. It was going to be Clinton. And all of a sudden Trump comes in. It's like, shit, we're going to lose our power unless we create this thing called fake news and pretend that everyone that's independent media is part of it. That's what they tried to do, and it backfired.
Well, I think the fake news thing, too, got really pushed because
they're
of the
done.
Whole,
it
the
backfired.
The Pizzagate, if you really look at, once they started talking about Pizzagate on Fox News, which Megyn Kelly had on Alphontis, and then they talked about it on CNN, too. That's when fake news really, they started pushing.
Yeah, and then Hillary Clinton gave a press conference talking about the dangers of fake news to our democracy. It's like, no, you're worried that independent media has eroded your monopoly on opinion making and that you guys are about to be exposed. I think that's what's happening right now. Like, these guys are going to be exposed really soon. This whole bullshit game that they've built, they've been building it up for 100 years. It's about to come falling down, and I think we're going to be able to be blessed to be part of it, and you know, helping to shut this thing down, and you know,
think about how much money we're going to have. All our lives are going to be unbelievably better when we break this shit.
Yeah, dude. You know, because we're being jacked. I said it last night on your show, SM Gibson. We're being jacked. We're being jacked, and then they're blaming the lack of resources. Go around for all of us people that work all day long and can barely make it by. They're blaming it on immigrants. They're scapegoating it on people from Mexico. They're scapegoating it on Muslims. They're scapegoating it on refugees created by dropping bombs on their cities. It's unbelievable. Like, we're getting jacked, and the media is somehow pinned against all these oppressed people, immigrants. It's like Malcolm X said in his birthday, or the anniversary of his death. Or was his birthday yesterday?
Assassination.
Was yesterday, right? Or the day before? God,
I'm Saturday.
Anyway, one of the things he said is, like, if you're not careful, the media will have you, you know, hating the people who are oppressed and loving your oppressor. And that's exactly what's gone on. And they've been so good at it it's almost like anti-establishment to hate immigrants. Everyone, like, a bunch of mainstream people hate immigrants, but it's also like, oh, it's like cool, like edgy to hate immigrants too. And that's what you have, like, Milo and, like, you know, Spencer and these nut jobs over on the alt-right who make a living out of making it cool to, like, only discriminate against people and that kind of thing. But it's just, all it is a distraction. I mean, it's a scapegoating. It's the saddest, like, most basic, cheapest appeal to emotion. Like, we all got jacked, dude. Like, Walt jacked us in 2008. They've been jacking us since 1913. They've been jacking us since Nixon was in office. And now that it's all starting to come to a head, they want us to blame other people. I mean, that's what they did in Nazi Germany when they had this huge messed up economic situation. They blamed it all on the Jews. Like, we have to be extremely careful because that's what they're trying to have us repeat, except in the U.S. it's Muslims and immigrants. We don't want to repeat that because it's a huge distraction, and even worse, a bunch of innocent people will get affected by it.
Okay, you mentioned Milo real quick. I want to have read this headline from a story we had yesterday, and I'm just going to throw it to you. And I want to get DB and Jake's opinion on this as well, because I know you have pretty strong opinions on this. City fines interracial couple after someone spray painted a racist slur on their home. Over to you, Nick.
Yeah, this story is unbelievable. We published it yesterday afternoon, and I was like, you know, going through and getting this thing ready. You and me were working on it together. James Holbrooks wrote it for us, and we were like, oh man, people are going to be up and about this story because, you know, obviously free speech is like trending right now because everybody's defending Milo Yiannopoulos and his supposed free speech, which again, I still have yet to find a example of where his free speech has actually been infringed upon. It hasn't, because is the government taking away your right to say something? No government is taking away his right in the United States. Anyway, that being said, we come out with this story, and like basically it's an interracial couple, and somebody went and spray painted the N-word on their garage, and instead of cleaning it off, they said, you know what, we're going to leave it up here as a message to our neighbors that someone out there did this. And it may have been one of them. We want them to know that there's some racist asshole in our neighborhood. So they decided we're going to leave the graffiti up. Well, the city came along and said, hey, we're going to charge you $100 a day.
Well, they said they were only going to leave it up until they caught the guy. They
wanted to caught the guy.
Yeah. It wasn't just going to be a permanent fixture on their house.
No. But anyway, now they're charging these people $100 a day, $700 a week for having this graffiti on their garage door that, first of all, they didn't write. But second of all, they're choosing to leave it up there as a message. Nobody's giving a shit about this story. I'm like, what in the hell is wrong with people? Their free speech is being infringed upon. The government is stealing their money because they're leaving something spray painted on their garage door. That's unbelievable.
I mean, it literally is the first.
That's unbelievable. Thing. Everybody's over here doing backflips, defending a guy that thinks it's okay to have sex with little boys. Everybody's doing backflips to defend him. Nobody's defending the real victims of anti-free speech. Unbelievable, dude.
Well,
unbelievable.
You have to remember, too, that a lot of it has to do with the culture that we live in, and these are just two people living their lives, and they're not fame whores, and, you know, they're not parading around, and everything's about, you know, their expensive sunglasses and how much attention can I get for myself today, and what crazy nonsense can I spew out of my mouth today to get 10 more followers or 100 more followers or 1,000 more followers on my social
media. And let's not forget how cool it is to hate Muslims nowadays. I mean, that's like the cool thing right now. It's horrible, horrible what's going on with the xenophobic rise in xenophobia that is completely unbased. There's no reason for it. There isn't. There isn't. You're more likely to be, you're way more likely to be killed by a cop than any terrorist. And if you're talking about terrorism, right-wing extremists are the ones that kill more people than anybody else in this country since 9/11. So we're talking about white dudes. White dude terrorists have killed more than any other group in this country since 9/11. So if we're going to be all going xenophobia and, hey, we need to ban people who are terrorists, well, I'm sorry, but the facts are the facts. The stats are the stats, dude. Let's be real. Muslims are not blowing people up, dude. Not happening. And when there is, it's some sick bastard with a mental issue that is violent, and he acts out most time, almost overwhelmingly on his own.
But okay, and this is for people out there that I know what they're thinking in their head, okay? They're saying, well, what about Orlando? Okay, what about, you name that one instance, maybe you want to bring up San Bernardino. Think about all the other mass shootings that have gone on in this country by people who weren't Muslim.
Yeah.
Are you trying to ban any
Dylan
of them?
Roof?
Right.
Are we trying to ban white teenagers?
Right. That's
like,
it.
No,
are we banning white teenagers?
It's not white teenagers that are the problem. There's some people who are mentally messed up that resort to violence. Now, these people are led to these paths for certain reasons. And you wonder, why do Muslim Islamic extremists exist? Why do they exist? Why are there people trying to shoot people that are a certain religion? And I'll tell you something. All you got to do is listen to what these people are saying. They tell you. Go and listen to the tapes from the Orlando shooter that were suppressed by the FBI that just barely came out. Go listen to what he said. And you want to know what he said?
Occupying.
I'll tell you what he said. He said, he called 911. He said, I'm doing this because you guys won't stop bombing Afghanistan. You recently bombed a child in Iraq. That's what he said. There's a reason why people are doing things that they do a lot of times, man. Maybe we should listen once in a while. terrorism can be prevented if we stop arming groups for certain reasons, even if they're terrorists. Terrorism would be prevented if we weren't occupying countries that we shouldn't be occupying in the Middle East, where, you know, these places are like their homelands. We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be overthrowing governments like we did in Libya. Like, most of the refugees coming up into France, and in many of them, the ones going into England, they're coming from Libya. France and England both spearheaded the overthrowing of the Libyan government along with the United States and toppled Gaddafi, created a huge mess where there's all kinds of terrorists and all kinds of warring factions and warlords and trafficking and just oil cartels and all kinds of horrible shit going on. Arms trafficking in Libya. Guess what? France, England, and the United States, they all caused that. And now, guess what's happening? Bunch of refugees are running from Libya and trying to get into France and trying to get into England.
Why didn't we have all these refugees? You know, where did all these refugees come from? That's what people need to remember.
That's the issue here.
They're fleeing from something. It sure does, timing-wise, really correspond with when we start blowing their countries apart. And maybe we shouldn't be doing that. And maybe these people could, if you're so against refugees, well, this is what you do. You call whoever your representative is and you say, let's stop bombing all these countries, and then guess what? They'll go back home.
Yeah, dude. Like, xenophobia is a reactionary thing. Being against Muslims right now doesn't make you smart, doesn't make you edgy, doesn't mean you know more than anybody else. It just means you're reactionary. It means that you're not understanding the issue here. You're not understanding the issue isn't that refugees are bad guys. First of all, refugees are the victims here.
Correct.
Second of all, your tax dollars and your politicians, they're the ones creating these refugees by blowing up their countries. That is the real problem. And that's, if you want to talk about getting edgy and getting smart and getting like cool about it, then you got to start understanding what the problem is. We got to make being knowledgeable cool again. Maybe that should be our slogan. I'm going to run in 2020. Make being knowledgeable cool again. I'll beat the shit out of Donald Trump. How would that sound? How about that?
You would lose.
I'll show up to the Wilds. Catch me outside.
People aren't interested in knowledge because we have things like Catch Me Outside that get really, really popular.
Plus, I wouldn't run anyway. Screw politics. I'm never going to run for politics, dude. Hell no. I'm not a politician. Anyway.
But, you know, it's sad that people don't realize the consequences. And you're going to get, because you see it, you hear the conservative talking points, mostly conservative talking points of, well, they're trying to, we have to ban the refugees because a bad person's going to sneak in. Okay, well, why is that person trying to sneak in? If you think there's a bad person trying to sneak in and do something, why? Because we just blew apart their country.
Yeah.
So, again, if we just could just stop all the blowing these countries apart, then all your problems will be absolved.
It almost seems like we save a lot of money doing that, too.
Right.
We'd be able to afford a lot of things that we can't afford right now. Like, you know, maybe, I don't even go into it. I'm not going to go into the welfare stuff. But look, it'd be a lot cheaper to not have a huge empire and maybe take care of our people. Everybody, I would see a big talking point about the people that talk shit about refugees. Like, well, what about our homeless? We have a big homeless problem. We don't take care of our own homeless. Well, first of all, if you think homelessness is a big problem, why don't you go out there and start doing something about it instead of just waiting until, you know, you can use it as a talking point to talk shit about refugees. That's one thing. I mean, that would be, you know, one thing. Second of all, we'd be able to afford to take care of our homeless and give them, each one of them, a place to live if we weren't bombing and taking over just one of these big wars. If we just ended what we're doing in Afghanistan right now, we could take care of all the homeless just by doing that. If we stopped doing what we were doing in the Middle East, we could end hunger in the whole world. But we won't, because it's more important for these assholes in charge to make their buddies a huge fat paycheck by killing people. That simple. And you know what? They've played everyone in this country as a fool, because I'll tell you what, SM, you said, you know, the conservative talking point about being anti-refugee. I'll tell you what, the conservatives may be the ones willing to publicly voice it, but the liberals believe it too. The Democrats in this country are as xenophobic as the Republicans. They just don't voice it. And the polling numbers show people were in favor of that, of the travel ban from those countries. People are in favor of that, more than half.
But if the point is to really make a difference and change people's minds, you have to remember that people are only responding to emotion. And I think we get in a problem in this country where it doesn't matter what you believe, whatever topic it is, and somebody goes, you're wrong, and the other person goes, well, you're wrong. And you have to remember, you have to look at why the other person is saying what they're saying and why they believe that, because they do believe it. And so it's all based on fear. And these people are fearful because this fear was bred into them by politicians and by, again, the corporate media. So to alleviate these fears, you have to remember that you have to look past the BS. You're sitting here saying that, we don't trust CNN. Hey, we don't trust any of these media outlets. We think it's all fake news. Well, where's all this information you're getting coming from? It's coming from the people that spew fake news at you. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, they're right about this because
it's like, yeah, CNN lies to us, so I'm going to believe the lies that are being told to me by Donald Trump. It's like, wait. Lies are not – I thought you guys don't like lies, not lies that you like. You know, it's like, lies are lies. Don't believe them if it's CNN or if it's Donald Trump. The lie is a lie. Donald Trump recently made up a terror attack in Sweden. Now, I know that there is riots going on there several days later, which are unrelated to a terrorist attack that Donald Trump just made up. Kellyanne Conway made up a terrorist attack in Bowling Green. There's been several of these types of slips. Like, these people are just making shit up. And the people who follow them aren't caring. They're like, CNN, just, all they're doing is talking shit and blah, blah, blah. And believe me, I agree with the CNN crap. CNN sucks. But, dude, Trump and his administration is lying to you just as much as the CNN people are, too. Like, they're all just making shit up at this point. And that's why we need more people like what we were doing today with the live streams. Like, we need to see the shit. We need the real proof. We want to see what's really going on. I'm tired of the he said, she said, oh, this source in the CIA tells Washington Post that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Anonymous source.
Yeah, it's like, I'm tired of that bullshit. I want to see the proof, and I want to see the raw data. I want to see the video and the photos, and I want to see it. You know, I want to see the stuff. And that's the whole thing with the Russia thing. Oh, Russia hacked the election. Show me the damn proof or shut your mouth. You know what I mean? Like, show us the proof. And, like, it's hard, man. Once you get to this point where you're like, you get to the point where you consume information only if you can see proof that to back it up, it's really hard for us as a media outlet to write articles about a bunch of these topics, because a bunch of the narratives are literally backed by nothing. There's nothing to back them up at all. Nothing. You know, and Russian narrative thing, nothing to back it up. Nothing. So, you know, like, we can't even write about that story really that much because there's nothing there, you know. And a lot of the narratives you see out of the mainstream, it's just he said, she said, this source tells Associated Press, or this guy told the Washington Post, we can't name his name, but he said this, trust us. It's like, no. Now, the problem is, people are being rightfully skeptical about the media, except if it reinforces their opinion. So it's like, oh yeah, you know, Washington Post sucks, but oh, this Washington Post headline, I totally agree with it, share. You know, it's like, wait, I thought just yesterday you were saying Washington Post sucks. Gotta be consistent, guys. Just because you read something, a headline that reinforces your existing idea, your confirmation bias, just because you see a headline that says, oh, rape are up in Sweden because of Muslims and stuff, don't just share it without going and looking at the proof. The statistics just came out of Sweden, I'm telling you. They just came out a couple days ago. It's not very bad at all. They got less murders in all of Sweden than they have in Washington, D.C. by itself. You know, not bad there. Not nearly as bad as what we have in some places here in this country. And we're all being told, oh, Sweden, it's the example of why Muslims are bad. It's like, no, it's not, actually. And everyone points to the rape numbers. That is, all that is just a change in their definitions, their legal definitions. Julian Assange was accused of rape in Sweden because he didn't use a condom. So that tells you
He was accused of rape in Sweden because he released a bunch of files on
because he runs WikiLeaks. But right. Technically speaking, he's accused of rape in Sweden because he had consensual sex with a woman, and supposedly she wanted him to use a condom. He didn't have one. They had sex anyway, and because of that, he's accused of rape. So that tells you a little bit about the rape laws in Sweden. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. I'm not a rape advocate here, but you know, there's a reason why the stats are so skewed as of a couple years ago. So do your fact checking. Thank you all for tuning in. Find the news, share it on the anti-media, go to My News, EB, Jake, thank you for tuning in, SM. Peace.
I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, through the stereo.